Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. Adam Harahuck, Sean Cantwell, and special guest Drew Duffy here on another Friday. This has been becoming a recurring thing lately.
I know, don't get used to it. It's about to all change. I'm probably going to have different days off. But yes, while I'm here, we are going to cherish every drop. I mean, every minute.
Right. Drop, minute. Really, same thing around here.
Yeah.
So, of course, we have a lot to get to today. Obviously, some Lions-related stuff we're going to have to touch on. Probably actually kind of start off the show because they're taking on the Seahawks on Sunday. And it's a game you should absolutely win. Like, the Seahawks passing game isn't good. Your run game is pretty solid. Their run defense was terrible last year. I mean, this seems like very much what should be a winnable game for you all the way around. But the thing I really feel like I have to address here off the top about this game is this thing that C.J. Gardner-Johnson is trying to start here in Detroit that I'm not really on board with, I don't think.
Is that the one where we're going to fill Detroit with people in ski masks?
Blue
ski masks.
What could possibly go wrong? Here, everyone wear Honolulu Blue ski masks to the game on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure the Ford Field security is just loving that idea.
And not to mention, it's going to be 70.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, how are you going to be wearing, I mean, granted, yes, Ford Field is an indoor arena, but even more so then, like, it's going to be hot in there. Who's going to want to wear a full, like, head ski mask for the entire game? Like, we're going to have people passing out by the end of the first quarter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, is that different than normal? We're partiers here in Detroit.
Yeah, we can hold our liquor a little bit better than that, Drew. Thank you very much. Apparently, there's already been, like, sellouts of these things. There's a local apparel company that has been selling them that sold theirs out in just days. They're on back order on Amazon, apparently.
And somebody put the Lion on there and has been selling them for, like, $30-$35. Can't keep them in stock.
I believe it. Do you have any at your retail place of employment?
We do not.
In September? Nobody has ski masks in September.
I wasn't sure if they started ordering because of this. No, I don't know how the, it would be smart. I don't know how the supply chain works.
That. Yeah, I mean, it would make sense. Now, what was the whole quote? Yes, you know, we're not going to be coming out wearing bags on our head anymore. That's not the same old Lions. We're going to come out with ski masks.
Right. They're part of us. It's our culture. I'm changing it. What did Coach Brad Holmes say? We're villains, right?
I mean,
great.
I can see this for the next election. People want to wear a ski mask saying they're voting for Trump.
Oh, boy. Yeah, like, I just don't see this being a particularly wise call for a number of reasons. For one, it's a little hot to be wearing ski masks when it's still technically summer. And two, I mean, not only is it, you know, you'd be walking around Lions Ford Field looking like it's the Purge or something, I also feel like we're going to end up getting a rash of after the game. So, what did the robber look like? Well, he was wearing a Honolulu Blue ski mask.
Yeah, some robber's just like, it's my time to shine,
right?
And I mean, they use your identification when you get beer there. It's a pretty, they card you pretty consistently.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine, you know, some jackwagon's going to be in there with his ID and it's just going to be a business card with a blue face mask on it.
It's me, look.
See, yeah, clearly it's me. It's the same mask
Ford
and everything.
Field's going to look like a bunch of match heads. A bunch of matches in the stands.
Right.
What's going to be the icing on the cake is if a streaker shows up with just the face mask.
Just nothing else. All natural. Or just a tiny little blue.
Yeah, tiny little blue ski mask.
For Mr. Happy, yeah.
Yeah. My, I don't think it's a great idea. I really don't.
Well, like, it's dumb.
Of all the new traditions we're trying to start, and yet we can't get rid of some of the ones that currently exist, like that horrible song that comes after the touchdowns for this team.
Yeah.
Like,
forward down the field.
Like, we're really trying to start a tradition out of ski masks, yet we can't get rid of forward down the field. Really?
Well, like, it's tradition.
It's a tradition of losing.
Right.
It's not a tradition of anything good. It's a reminder of our long suffering as a fan base, really. Like, if anything, could we end this stupid tradition, please? No, just no more.
No, no,
let's be done with that forever.
Yeah.
I'd be more fine with that.
They must not play that, like, on TV.
Oh, no, they don't.
Because,
like, you can kind of hear it in the background after they score on the radio broadcast, but no, that's just an in-stadium thing because the guy actually is there live in person to sing this awful, awful song.
And the thing was, when Ford Field got built, the casino gave me box seats or whatever for the opening scrimmage game, the preseason game,
yeah,
against Denver, and we beat them, right? But I didn't ever remember hearing that song. Other than that, I always watch it on TV. And then somebody's like, man, this guy's a tried and true Lions fan. And it shows this dude all dressed in like Lions gear, except for he had on bib overalls. And he was on this bus. And he was singing that song with no music to it, like word for word. And I'm like, I've never heard this song before. It must have been before my time.
I guess.
But apparently not. Apparently it's all the time now.
Yeah, it's kind of become a thing. And I for one, am just not here for it. It's too much of a, really, it throws back too much to an era which we really, really weren't good. And if we could, like, get away from that time, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, something about one of those things they should just do away with and bring back for, like, the 50th anniversary, like, you know, the classic natural light can or something like that.
Although I guess now you're probably going to be, if they end up being good this season and doing all the things we say they're going to do, winning the NFC North, winning a playoff game, winning playoff games, we're going to be stuck with it forever. I know we are.
Well, didn't you say that they played after every touchdown?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they're not sick of it, because it doesn't happen very often. And if we're super if we're super successful this season and they listen to it a lot, maybe they'll get sick of it, and maybe this will be your year, Sean.
One can only hope.
Yeah, hope so.
Hope is, well, hope for a long time is all we had as Lions fans, really. But, you know, now that they're actually looking good, maybe now it's time to start scraping away some of the losing tradition of the past. Like, I've heard they've talked about, you know, changing the logo, rebranding, changing potentially even the colors. I can't imagine they would actually realistically do that, but it certainly remains.
Then you can't change the colors.
No, like, you're stuck being Honolulu Blue forever. That's just how it is. That's how it's always going to be.
Right.
I really don't see how you could get away with that. That might be, that's too far as the tradition goes. The awful song that we have to listen to after they score, though, we can ditch that tomorrow.
Sounds like a beer commercial.
And rightfully so.
Like a cheesy 60s, 70s beer jingle.
Forward down the field, crack yourself open.
Strohs, I assume?
Yeah. Pee behind that dumpster, wake up at 3 in the morning, not know where you are.
I think Adam's kind of projecting a little bit there. Yeah.
Maybe
a little bit of personal experience?
Yeah. Can't find your keys.
Yeah. Line's too long at the porter, John. Pee in the parking garage.
We got to hit a break, though. We've got a lot of stuff to get to today. We got some unsolicited advice to do, the list that will no doubt be trash, and, of course, the picks.
The picks.
It is happy hour. Stick around. Back after this. It is happy hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And Drew Duffy over across from me. We haven't subjected you to a list in a minute.
No.
I don't know if we did one last week. I don't know if we've done one the last couple weeks.
We've had so much content.
We just haven't had time.
Sometimes we don't do a list, which is fine because I think we've done every list possible.
You would think that, but I found one that we haven't
rank
done.
Rank our lists.
Top 20 lists on the board. But no, I've got a list that's rather timely because, of course, this weekend starts the North American International Auto Show in Detroit.
Okay.
And also the UAW just went on strike.
Ooh, okay.
So your list for this week, I'm turning the tables on you. Oh, how the turntables have...
Turned. Favorite, ranking UAW presidents.
No, top 20 fictional cars.
Okay. Oh, you kind of got the... I should have taken this day off. I'm going to smoke you like a candy cigarette
fictional
at this.
Are we talking about... Okay.
Like cars from TV shows, movies, etc.
Okay,
come on. You guys, we should really do quite well at this.
Okay.
All right, since Drew's the guest, we're going to let him go
first. I'm
going
to back away. I can see. Oh, do you have it written down? Is that what it
yes.
is? Yes. Oh, I thought it was on the screen because all I could see was numbers. I don't want to get far away from the microphone.
No, it's not on the screen, so Adam can't cheat.
I want it up close and personal. All right, Adam, go first in alphabetical order.
alphabetical order. General Lee.
Number two.
Woo.
Not bad. Yeah, that's. I would have guessed that to be number one, but I also really can't argue with number one. Drew.
I think I know what number one is, but I'm not going to go. I'm going to go for a long shot. Herbie.
Herbie comes in at number 20.
Herbie. Oh, yeah. Herbie the love bug.
I did have to do a little bit of editing on this list because I feel like there are some here that you were not going to get under any circumstances. That.
What about, these are from movies also, right?
Movies, TV, yeah.
Ecto-1.
Ecto-1 comes in at number 18.
I am saying I'll call my number one out because I thought Adam was going to get it since he's wearing the shirt. The Batmobile.
The Batmobile is at number 13 on the list.
Really?
That's oh, wow. That's a popular one.
I mean, that's iconic,
oh,
man.
I know what number one is.
Hmm.
Kit.
Kit? No, Kit actually comes in at number 6.
This list is trash. I mean, the car talked.
Yeah, but that,
how can you argue against a talking car? Literally, you can't.
I wouldn't want a talking car. Adam, it's been a while since it's been oil change. Are you sure you want to park here? Come back, his tires are gone. I tried to stop him.
Can you pick a prom date?
You shouldn't have had so many drinks tonight.
Can you pick a prom date with a little less mass next time, Adam?
Drew on the pick.
All right, so we've got the Batmobile, we've got Ecto-1. I'm going to say the Mystery Machine.
The Mystery Machine is just outside the top 20, number 22.
That is a good one, though.
Just a bit outside.
Let's stick with the vans. How about the A-Team van?
The A-Team van comes in at number 15.
Okay.
Drew, what do you got?
Bandit 1.
The Bandit, number 4 on the list.
That's a good one.
I can't sing anymore.
Yeah, there are rules on this
especially
show, Drew.
Country music.
Yeah.
I mean, that is our official road trip music. Anytime we leave somewhere, we crank that song, but
Sure. Oh, now I'm...
It's not a successful road trip unless we start with Eastbound and Down.
Now I can't remember...
Any car you've ever...
Ever, yeah.
In I'm your
just,
life.
I spent all my loan.
What are cars? I don't know.
I don't know. How about the Flintstone Mobile?
No.
I mean, you had to use your feet as brakes, but other than that, pretty solid vehicle.
Well, I mean,
Your tires never went flat.
That's bad enough, though, I feel like.
All right, Drew.
Partridge Family Bus?
No.
Well, that's a good one.
You're kidding me.
God, you guys just went, like, cold all of a sudden.
What about the Starsky and Hutch vehicle?
Yes, that comes in at number 10? Yeah, no, sorry, number 11.
Okay.
It's their 76 Gran Torino.
Nice.
There you go. All right. Drew, I believe Drew currently... he's got three.
One.
Drew's got three, right? Adam has five.
No.
But I also went first.
Oh, that's right.
Or maybe four. I'm sorry. I screwed up. Anyway.
I can't count.
I can't do math. You know
this.
How
about this. Ponch's motorcycle from Chips?
No. Not on the list. You're missing some like big heavy hitters here.
What about Mach 5? Go Speed Racer, go.
Mach 5 actually is just outside, number 21.
Wow. Okay.
That's, I mean, I'm impressed that you guessed that, but no, it should be higher on the list, I feel like. Drew, what do you got?
You guys are
missing some big names on here, really.
I know, that's what I'm thinking. How about the Pope-mobile?
The Pope... It seems odd that the resident Irish Catholic here would call the Pope-mobile a fictional vehicle, but no, it is not on the list. How does that work?
It doesn't really exist.
You're the one who believes in the ministry of hats. Like, I don't understand. So...
I'm laughing because I'm trying to stall.
There's a lot of movie ones on here.
Yeah, it's...
I feel like I'm going to start giving hints. There's a couple notable ones from a certain spy movie series.
James Bond's Aston Martin?
Yep, number 3.
Okay.
There's another one on there, too, from a different movie in that.
I think I know what it is.
Drew.
How about the green? It was Steve McQueen.
Oh.
I can't remember what kind of car it was. It's a Shelby. I think it's a Shelby Cobra. Steve McQueen's. What was the name of the? It wasn't
Bullet.
Bullet. Yeah.
Is not on the list. I'm kind of surprised that one's not on the list, to be honest with you. That seems like an obvious one.
Okay.
I had one in my head and it just drove away.
hate when that happens.
Yeah. I'm trying.
You're still missing number one, by the
way. I know.
Which I thought would be the Batmobile.
I thought that would have been the Batmobile.
Oh, trust me. When you hear what number one is, you're going to kick yourself.
Oh, what about the Shagadelic, that Mini Cooper that Austin Powers drove?
No, also not on the list.
Okay, how about Barbie's car? Barbie
no.
Jeep or whatever.
Yeah, no. Nope.
Barbie everything. How about the DeLorean from Back to the Future?
Number one on the list. I was kind of wondering when you were going to come up with that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that is like one of the most iconic vehicles ever. Like, I'm not surprised that that one, the General Lee, were one and two on this list.
Yeah, right.
All right. You're getting them down. You finally have the top, well, you have four of the top five. Number six. Do I need to start giving hints? I feel like that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Number five. Get off my lawn.
Gran Torino. Said it earlier on, yeah.
It was
the Starsky and Hutch Gran Torino. This was Clint Eastwood's Gran Torino from Gran Torino.
Oh, okay.
Number five. All right. Number seven. Another, I believe, 70s movie. I feel like I'm just going to give you the model of the car. It's a Lamborghini.
Cannonball Run.
There you go. Okay. Number seven.
Because Cannonball Run had like every car in there. There's Ferraris and had a limo in the second.
You're right.
And an ambulance.
And an ambulance.
Correct. Drew.
An ambulance. No.
No, not on the list.
Let me think. You know, that's... I mean, Snowman 1, the Jerry Reed's truck from Smokey and the Bandit?
No, there's nothing else from Smokey and the Bandit on the list.
No semis. Okay.
Any cartoons on there?
There's one that's been a cartoon and also been live action at one point.
How about Optimus Prime?
Optimus Prime, there you go, comes in at number 17. There's another one. Stay on that same lane. I'm just throwing out the whole, like, we have to do this in
Sarah Slay.
No.
It's not a car.
It's not a car at all. Adam.
Bumblebee.
There you go. Number 16. How Bumblebee ranks higher than Optimus Prime, I don't understand.
He's a more popular character.
That's stupid, but...
Tomator.
Okay. Not on the list.
That should be on the list.
This list is definitely stinky, smelly, drippy, gross trash.
So you're missing 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, and 19.
Wow, we are really the pooch right now.
All right. Think number 19, Stephen King.
Christine.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Number 14, superhero.
DC or
I don't think either one, because it wasn't a comic book superhero. It was, well, originally a radio superhero and a couple the TV and
The Shadow?
I don't think Shadow was really a superhero. Knight? No. Think a little more colorful. In both the name of the car and the name
of the... Green Hornet.
Yeah, there you go. Black Beauty comes in number 14.
Was it Black Beauty or Green Hornet? Jace, come on.
Number 12, I was telling you, spy movie earlier.
Yeah.
You said you think you knew what the other one was.
I thought it was Austin Powers.
Nope.
The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Similar movie title, though. From the Spy Who Loved Me.
James Bond?
Yeah.
Okay, so he had the Aston Martin and, a Porsche 911?
No, it was, I just gave it to you, it was the submarine car.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Oh, so close. Let's see, 9, 10, and 11 left to get. Two of them were movies, I believe, 80s vintage. The other was a TV show from the 80s.
Man.
Number 11.
What about Magnum P.I.'s Ferrari?
Magnum's Ferrari is number 9. There you go. Actually, number 8. Sorry. So you're missing 9 and 10. Both of them are movies. Number 10, Mel Gibson film.
Mad Max.
Yes, the Interceptor from Mad Max is number 10.
I didn't understand.
You got one more to get. Yeah. I have faith in you to do this.
I start talking trash and you just beat the taillights off me.
See, that's what happens. You start talking trash around here and you get burned really quick.
What about the Slapshot bus, the team bus?
No.
Where they punched holes in the side of it to make it look mean.
Think more like 80s teen movie.
Oh, Teen Wolf, the bus.
No. It's not a bus, okay, guys?
Okay.
So no van.
The Magic School Bus. No.
80s teen.
Teen movie, 80s teen
movie. So it wasn't from Teen Wolf.
Was it License to Drive?
No.
Okay.
More popular teen movie.
Teen movie. Goonies didn't drive, did they?
No.
It's frustrating when you know the answer.
You're right. Like, 80s teen movie with Matthew Broderick.
Oh, that was also for Ari.
Yes, it was.
From Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Correct. There you go. You have the list. Which is at least, well, marginally trash. You guys, trust me, if you have seen some of the ones that came up on here that I didn't give to you, you'd really be questioning the general public.
The Beverly Hillbillies truck.
Right, Tucker. The car with the headlight that moved when you turned the wheel.
Yeah.
The car from the Monsters place just outside here.
Dracula. Oh, geez, I didn't even think about Dracula.
Right. It's in the car from Supernatural, a car from the Great Gatsby movie. Like, guys, come on, do better. Do better, America.
Yeah, that list was definitely trash.
Yeah, way to go. This is why we can't trust the general public to do anything. Anyway, we got to hit a break here. We got to hit the news. Nick Lean standing by at the news desk covering the Thumb after ABC News covers the world at 6 o'clock here on The Voice of the Thumb, WMIC AM Sandusky, and 95.3 FM W237 EQ Sandusky. Back after this. Stick around. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Campbell. That's Drew Duffney. And it's about that time for my favorite bit of the week. Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice. We're real people with real problems. Send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. We intercept. And I think we do a better job than any of the actual people who do this for a living.
This week, though, we have Drew. Drew, have you ever done unsolicited advice with us?
Only over the phone, like when I'm driving.
Yeah.
And I always listen into this topic for you guys in fear that you're going to read one that I submitted to, like, Stan Flanders one day.
Yeah. Dear Stan, somebody who cares, I work at this radio station, and a bunch of the numbnuts that are over here, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Let's dive in, shall we?
Let's do.
Dear anybody other than Sean, Adam, and especially Drew.
Or, in other words, sad.
I was in my late 20s when I got together with my girlfriend. We met on trips to the pub after work. We worked at the same place, but not together, and I just found myself magnetically drawn to her all the time. When I told our colleagues we were dating, I heard all sorts of things about how wonderful she was, how much they all loved her. Basically, she was the most brilliant person in every room, and she was choosing me. Nothing had ever made me feel so loved and so confident. 2 years on, I'm finding a flip side to this. Friends of mine that she's got to know now text her more than they text me. People at parties ask me where she is and walk away if I say she's not coming. My young nieces and nephews will wrap her in hugs and hardly acknowledge me. One friend has been with her boyfriend for 10 years and he never wanted to hang out with me. Now whenever we meet up, she passes on the message that he is coming and can I bring my girlfriend. The confidence I first got from being the one chosen by the son of every room she's in now just makes me feel like I'm the guest star in my own relationship. I obviously love that she fits in with my friends and family so well. How do I stop myself feeling I'm being squeezed out of my own relationships?
Oh, this is
signed Sean Cantwell.
This is very simple. Fake your own death.
What?
Fake your own
death. No.
Fake your own death and hey, Aunt, whatever your name is, you brighten up every room. We're pretty sure you're going to get murdered in some sort of documentary. Hey, where's Uncle, what's his name? He died. Oh, my God, I feel so terrible. I wish we would have paid more attention to him. And then he pops out. Ha-ha, I ain't dead.
And well, that's how you were sure that none of them ever want anything to do with you again.
Or you pop out at the funeral like out of the casket. Hey! Hell! And just scare the hell out of everybody.
I already feel like that's something that you would actually do.
You know how long I've been sitting here calm while you guys are all crying over me? I swear, I have to pee. I want to enjoy this moment that I scared all the hell of it. Get Grandma off the floor. I will be right back. I will be right back.
Well, I think he's kind of looking at it the wrong way. It's hard to change his perception or his view of things, but when we were at the birthday bash, they there was a guy there, you know, did a shot with him or whatever. And he said, yeah, my girlfriend's driving. I said, oh, okay, where is she? He goes, she's that hot blonde over there. And she was a pretty attractive woman, right?
And I think I saw her, yes.
Yeah. And I said, well, you better get back to her. I said, there's probably somebody hitting on her trying to pick her up. He goes, you know what? It comes with the territory. He said, you got a smoking hot lady. You just got to expect other people are going to hit on her and just appreciate the fact that she only wants your attention and comes home with you. And I kind of feel that way here because he had the right outlook on things.
That is a very healthy outlook.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously,
no, absolutely.
He had confidence in himself, and so should this guy.
Because a lot of people in that situation, the guy you were just talking about, would be, let's just stay in tonight. I don't want to go anywhere. Let's just stay.
Yeah.
Why do you got to go to work? Why don't you work with me? Why don't you work from home? You know,
right.
It can be really kind of controlling.
No.
Yeah, I feel like we see that happen quite a bit with people. Like, no, you can't go out and have an actual social life because they feel like they're so jealous of this other person.
And so I used to date somebody who was like a really smoke show. But then she didn't shave her armpits. So anytime a guy was like hitting on her, I'd be like, hey, honey, high five.
I say, that'll do it real quick, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've been this situation.
Oh, my God,
let's
turn in a headlock?
So there's kind of, it's kind of a thing. Like, when Rachel and I actually started dating, you're like, wait, she's dating you? How did you do that? Don't screw this up, for one, but also, how did you do this?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Every bartender was offering her an angel shot.
Yeah, exactly.
you probably would believe how many places we go to. Like, do you need help? Like, we can help you get away. Like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like,
listen, honey,
how
I
often
think it's,
that comes up in my life.
I think it's so great you take your mentally challenged brother out every once in a while. I think it's wonderful.
Look, just because that's actually happened, Harold, does not mean we have to call me out for it, okay?
But it's
absolutely a thing, though. Like, I have been in that situation, like, a lot. Like, she is the one that people like in the relationship. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, if I ever manage to screw this up, like, she's going to get all of our friends in the divorce.
Yeah, and
like,
they're all gonna be going, I told you so.
Yeah.
Oh, they. Some of them already are, Wes Himmel. It's already happening.
Yeah, he's like a vulture just circling around your guys' marriage. As soon as you mess up, man, he's...
Him and his soon-to-be wife both,
yeah. Right?
Well, what do I do here? But no, like...
So your wife left you? Yeah, left me for a whole other couple.
Yeah,
exactly. Left me for another couple. Like, what are we... What am I doing with my life?
How do I compete with that?
My whole turntables have flipped. Normally, that's Adam's solution to everything.
Right? But so... Yeah. But so, as a person who is in this scenario quite a bit, like, you just kind of accept it. You kind of like, hey, I happen to be dating the person that everybody wants to be around. Like, this is pretty awesome, honestly. Like, everyone else wants her, likes her, loves her, whatever. You're the one who got her. There was one night we were up at a watering hole down in the thriving metropolis of Metamora, and some dude comes up talking to Rachel while I'm off, I don't know, probably doing shots or something, because... And... And, like, obviously she's not having it because we're, like, 5-6 years into the relationship at this point. Like, oh, girl, I'll fight your boyfriend. I don't care. Then I come walking back. And hey, Rachel, what's up? Like, I have no idea any of this is going on. Like, oh, nothing. We were just talking, man. Like, and like, hey, who's this guy? Like, what's going on here? Like, so basically what I'm saying is just when that happened, just... Look like you might vaguely be physically imposing, and
well, yeah. But the problem is a lot of it is with his family. It's not like the cut.
Yeah, his own nieces,
nieces and nephews are like, hey, aunt, whatever. And you just can't strong arm them.
Well, how much do you really like your family anyway?
Yeah, right.
The solution here is just to cut them off, and there we checked off that box for the day.
And you saved money. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everyone wins. Well, you win anyway.
Drew, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just going to say, again, maybe his family loves her so much because they believe she's good for him.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, you want to, I mean, if hate to throw it down to this level, but if you got a flower that you really like, you make sure you fertilize it and water it and give it love. And that's all her family's doing.
Well, all he needs to do, she's new to the family, she's lovable to the family, everybody loves her. What he needs to do is... knock her down a peg. He needs to
be, no, that's a terrible idea.
He needs to be like at the dinner table, like, oh, hey, you know, her gambling problem, big gambling problem. Anyway, moving on. Oh, sorry, no wine for her. She's had enough this month. Trust me on that one.
And that's how you find yourself single. I mean, I guess that solves the problem technically, but then when your whole family and friends take her in the split, then I feel like you've really kind of got the exact thing you were trying to not get.
No mushrooms for her. She has enough fungus down on her toenails. It's terrible.
So,
I mean, talk it out with her.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, you're jealous of me? You're worried your family loves me more than they do you? Well, kind of. It feels that way. Aw, that's cute. And then she makes a big announcement at Thanksgiving, and you're like, well, we didn't have to go that far.
Yeah.
You know, now you just belittled me more.
Yeah, a big, long Thanksgiving table. Everybody thinks that you love me more than him. And great Uncle Earl's like, well, duh.
There's always one, isn't there?
Yeah.
So, no, you don't really do it. You just kind of, like, just accept that you have the most popular person in your circle of people, and she wanted to be with you and be happy with it.
Exactly.
There you go. Let's do one more of these real quick, shall
we?
Dear, does anyone still read these things? I am a vegan for a variety of reasons.
Oh, here we go. God.
I don't preach and often find it easier to bring my own food rather than pick at my host for what goes into a meal. My boyfriend was invited to a family summer gathering. It was very isolated and rural. I explained I was bringing my own food. His father and brother made special vegan jokes to me before.
Sure.
What happened was the kids raided my food. It was in my pack when the pantry snacks got locked up. I brought enough food for me for 5 days. They went through everything in 5 hours. I got upset. It was just a big joke to everyone. Then it seemed to become a game. If I set aside some peanut butter and celery, someone would eat it. Same for the oranges I put aside for breakfast. I got offered cereal and milk instead. I tried to get my boyfriend to drive me to a grocery store. He told me it would take more than 2 hours one way and to lighten up. By the time I left, I wanted to cry. My boyfriend and I had been fighting about it. He tells me I was overreacting and it wasn't like I'd starve out there. Is he right? We've been together for 9 months and talking about moving in together, but now I'm having doubts.
That is total disrespect.
You know, I don't normally come down on the side of vegans for any reason, literally ever, but literally your entire boyfriend's family and your boyfriend are making the vegan look reasonable here.
Yes.
Do you know how hard you have to try to do that?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yep.
And yet, here they've gone and done it by trying to starve you for a week.
Yeah.
What is wrong with these
people?
They're
trying to convert you back over to eating meat. I mean, that's, first of all, you lock up the pantry and their wolf kids eat all her food, and you guys are okay with that? There was no punishment involved? There was like, hey, you can't take things that don't belong to you? Nice parenting.
No, at that point, you let them eat their snacks or lock up in the pantry, and then they get to suffer for the next 5 days. It shouldn't just be, okay, well, we're just going to raid, we're going to raid the girlfriend's food here. Like, that's,
that's
not cool at all.
No, that is not cool at all. I mean, because I would assume, I can only assume that she's like that one vegan that just, I mean, well, she says in the letter that she doesn't lecture people. She's not trying to convert anybody. She's not trying to, I hope that she's not trying to make herself feel like she's pious. And
no, she hasn't come across that way, certainly.
She chose that lifestyle.
She'll even bring her own accommodations for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is honestly better than a lot of people who just show up like, why isn't there a vegan option here?
Yeah, I can't eat any of this.
Why didn't you
make an accommodation for me?
Why didn't you make a special whole menu just specifically for me? Like, she didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
And it's one thing, okay, your family are jerks here, but the fact that the boyfriend's leaning into it like, oh, you'll be fine, lighten up, get up. Like, you should dump this guy immediately.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, even if one day she's like, you know what? I'm tired of salad. I want a dead animal. What else is he going to disrespect her on? I mean, if they have a kid and they want to be raised this way, and he doesn't care. He's going to go with whatever. He's shown that he doesn't care about her wants, needs, and anything.
Boundaries, any of it.
Boundaries, big one, boundaries. And the fact that she would try to hold things off for herself and they would eat it as a joke, that's horrible. That's absolutely horrible. Because, first of all, when I dated a vegetarian for quite a few years, if you cut meat out of your system and you introduce meat again, you can get sick.
Yeah. No, you absolutely can. That's not something to play. People's dietary needs ain't stuff to play around with. Like, you don't mess with that. I mean,
yeah. Oh, I got a peanut allergy. Well, too bad. Look, all we've got is Reese's peanut butter cups.
Let's sneak some peanuts. Let's sneak some peanuts in this because I don't think you really have this allergy you know, someone who's got celiac or whatever. Like, I'm just going to give you this. We're going to give you some gluten and just see what happens because, you know, I think you're faking it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of garbage you're dealing with here. Yeah, like, don't mess with that stuff. Like, if you can't cater to it, you know, then you can't cater to it. But if she's going to bring her own food and then your family is going to eat it and then just pick on her?
It's done. Find somebody who respects boundaries, who respects you as a person.
Yeah, clearly it ain't the guy that you're with. That has become more than obvious here. Like, I would have even given to you halfway if the boyfriend was at least somewhat willing to stand up here, or at least, you know, he's just kind of like he won't stand up to his family. Okay, that's bad enough. But like the fact that he's actively playing into it, this isn't gonna work. Like, hey, at least you found out 9 months in and not after you'd already moved into a place together. So I guess you at least got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah, I guess. But it just said that a relationship has to end because somebody can't respect somebody's dietary. I'm not gonna say needs, but their dietary.
I mean, it could be. We don't know what the circumstances behind it is, but still, you can't respect that. It's clearly a relationship that's not gonna work. We gotta hit a break. John McMurray standing by with your weather forecast. Next, it is Happy Hour on the Voice of the Thumb, WMIC 660 and 95.3. It's that time of the week again. It's Friday. We are getting close to the end of this thing, so
yeah. It
is time for the picks.
Oh, and I won last week, didn't I? I beat everybody.
You barely beat me and Drew.
I beat everybody.
Adam finished. He got 8 right. Drew and I tied with 7, and Jim had 5. Not Jimothy's best week ever.
No, but considering I blindly picked them in about 30 seconds.
No excuses, James.
Without doing any research.
Yeah.
I'm happy with 5.
It wasn't one of those like, okay, what animal would win in a fight?
I've done that in the past.
Yes, or alphabetical order.
That's right.
Which seems like the sort of thing Drew has done before.
Yeah, and I just feel bad that the Giants lost.
I don't feel bad.
Yeah, but
even a little bit.
Well, that's because I would have beat you if they would have won.
They didn't just lose.
They lost like 40-0.
They
it was great. I love
if they hadn't showed up.
If it wasn't Dallas, I would have hated it a lot. I would have loved it a lot more. But you know, you take the good, you take the bad. You watch New York team lose, or both of them, and then you have. Well, I guess the other New York team didn't lose. They just lost their quarterback and therefore their season. They won the battle. They lost the war. Really,
I think I said when we talked about him, I don't want him because he's too old.
Well, it doesn't matter how old you are when your offensive line can't protect you. Either way, like 4 snaps into a season, he done.
Donezo.
So let's get to the pick, shall we?
Yeah.
We start.
We shall.
We'll get the Adam Harahuck special out of the way here first. The Ravens headed to Cincy to take on the Bengals, who got thrashed last week by the Browns.
I called that one.
You did. I think you were the only one that did. The rest of us were riding high on the Joe Burrow Express there, but...
Nope.
Drew got that one right.
Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl, my famous saying.
We'll see if they can if they can rebound this week against another division rival. We start with Drew Duffney on the pick.
Oh, it's going to be the Bengals.
Jimothy.
I disagree. I think the Ravens are going to pull this one out.
Do we even need to ask Adam? So I am taking, I'm taking Cincy.
Adam didn't take Baltimore last week.
True, but you were going to this week, were you not?
So you didn't quote the Raven?
I did take Baltimore last week, and I think this week, I'm sorry to say, I'm going to say, quote the Raven, nevermore give me Baltimore.
Yeah.
I'm the only one.
He didn't get to do it the first week. He was all upset about it. So.
Yeah, I was pissed.
We're splitting it 2-2.
Yeah.
So... Yep, I'm taking the Bengals to have a bounce-back game as well. Up next, KC coming off of losing to the Lions at home. They have to head to Jacksonville to take on Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. KC is favored by 3.5 because, of course, they are. It's KC. We start with James Tiberius Ault on the pick.
I think Kansas City is definitely going to rebound this game. Give me the Chiefs.
Adam.
Kansas City is favored, but you notice it's only by 3.5. And they can't be, Vegas can't be saying, well, they lost to the Lions, so they're absolute trash. I just think Jacksonville has something to prove. Go ahead, put me down for the Jags.
Drew Duffney on the pick.
I'm with Adam on this one. I think Kansas City's going to walk in with their tail between their legs. And I just feel like they're just going to be humbled, and they might come out with a fight in the first half, but then I still think they're just going to fall by the wayside.
Are they still missing Kelce at this point? Because I think so.
Yeah, Kelce is still not playing, but they will have Chris Jones back. He is expected to play for the first time this season after ending his holdout earlier this week, signing a reworked one-year deal. Travis Kelce is expected to go for Sunday.
Oh, God, that could spell bad for the Jags. But I'm still going with Jacksonville.
I think having those two guys back is going to make enough of a difference that they should beat what is a still rebuilding, still on the way up, but not quite there yet, Jacksonville team. As long as they don't throw Kadarius Toney the ball at any point in this thing, give me KC and the points. Up next, Green Bay headed to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. And here's the crazy part of this. The Falcons are favored by 1.5.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming after Jordan Love actually looked pretty solid against Chicago. Granted, it's Chicago. Chicago's not good.
Yeah.
But the Falcons beat the Panthers, who are starting a brand new quarterback. So I'm not sure how impressed I am with that win either. We'll start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
These are both unproven teams. Yeah, they won, but a lot of asterisks with these wins. Ultimately, I got to go with Jordan Love and the Packers.
Drew.
I think it's going to be too hot for the cheeseheads, so we're going to have to go with Hotlanta.
Jimothy.
Drip it down the faces.
I'm going to take the Packers on this one. It's a toss-up, but I'm going to take the Packers.
I'm taking Green Bay as well. I mean, yeah, Jordan Love's still relatively fresh to the league, but Desmond Ridder hasn't really shown a whole lot yet either. Up next, the G-Men coming off an embarrassing loss. I just really picked this game to point out that, you lost by 40, and that was hilarious, even if it was Dallas doing the beating. They're headed to Arizona to take on the Cardinals with whoever's starting for them, because obviously Kyler Murray's done for the year. He's not starting. I think Josh Dobbs. He's injured. He's not going to probably see any playing time this season, potentially.
I didn't think he was, like,
so they're awesome, throwing Josh Dobbs out to the Wolves that week. So we start with Drew Duffney on the pick.
Definitely not Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Well,
it's not Atlanta.
Definitely not Atlanta.
You're right. It's not going to be Atlanta.
Not the Cardinals. Arizona. My mouth is numb.
Okay,
fair.
Drew,
yeah.
Follow me or no. It's not the Cardinals, but it's
the Giants.
Okay. Not the Cardinals, definitely Arizona.
Yeah.
So you're not taking the G-Men then, is what you're saying?
No, they embarrassed me last week, and I'm not going to let it happen twice.
So he's going with the Cardinals.
James Tiberius Ault.
I don't know. I'm going to take the Giants, because why not?
You can't.
Yeah, you can't lose by 40 twice to a southern state.
That's right.
Adam Harahawk on the pick.
It's going to be all G-men. They have something to prove. I guarantee they have. They've been embarrassed after that last win. The over/under is 39.5. I will definitely take the over.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants have to score eventually this season, right?
I would hope so. The kicker's like, I guess I got to do everything myself today, huh?
Right. The G-men are favored by 4.5 in this one, which makes sense because Arizona doesn't really have a quarterback right now.
The entire sports world of Arizona is hot garbage.
Fight me. Really, truly is. Which is why it's going to be that much more hilarious when the G-men go there and still manage to lose. Give me the Cards.
Yeah.
Up
wow,
next.
That would That wouldn't be bad.
That would be. San Fran headed to Los Angeles to take on Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. They pulled out a win last week. I don't know how, but they did. And the Niners definitely took care of business against the Steelers, much to the chagrin of our resident Pittsburgh fan, James Ault. We'll go ahead and start here with, oddly enough, Lapeer Main Street manager, Jim Ault.
It was rigged last week. Oh, I want to recount. Give me a recount. I know. No, it's going to be the Niners all the way.
Adam.
And the points. Give me the points. If we're still doing that this season.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. San Fran is favored by 7, so yeah. Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Yeah, give Matt Stafford and the Rams.
Drew.
Minor 49er.
If you've learned nothing about me by now, it's definitely that I am not taking Matt Stafford and the stupid Rams, so give me San Fran. The Jets, they got to go to Dallas, where their New York counterpart got torn apart last week by the Cowboys. And, oh, this is going to be fun because the Jets go in basically with no quarterback and no hope. Dallas is favored by 9. We start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Give me them boys and the points.
Drew.
Going to be the Cowboys.
Jimothy.
Cowboys and points.
Yeah, I'm taking Dallas by at least 2 touchdowns in this one.
Do we have our first boring of the season?
Sounds like it.
I think we might.
Unless we're doing the coin.
No, we are not. So, yeah, we're going Dallas across the board then. Up next, Dolphins headed to New England to take on the Patriots. We'll let Jim start with this because it's kind of his area of expertise. Jimothy on the pick.
Why is this? Oh, because of New England, I guess.
Yeah.
My area of expertise.
As the also Boston sports fan of this group.
Right. Well, and being familiar with Dolphins. And Douglas Adam, and understanding that they taught us everything we know on Earth and
life,
the meaning, the universe of everything, 42, and all that stuff.
Thankful and Einhorn.
We'll go with that.
Is it bringing like Scientology in here?
No. Well, anyway, we'll explain to you off the air.
Yeah. Give me New England.
Jimothy, or Drew, rather.
The Dolphins.
Adam.
Fins.
I'm taking Miami as well. We'll go ahead and skip to actually Sunday night. We have the Dolphins. No, that was the Dolphins. The Patriots. Monday night, we have the Saints and the Carolina Panthers. New Orleans is favored by 3. We'll start with Adam, because why not?
Saints by 2 touchdowns.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Drew.
Yeah.
Panthers.
Jimothy.
New Orleans.
Give me the Saints as well. The other Monday night game, we have 2 this week for some reason. The Browns and the Steelers, and we'll start with Jimothy on this one.
Oh, where's he going to go?
I'm going to go with the Steelers because, the Browns.
Drew.
Hey, yeah, I know what Jim's saying, but I'm sticking with the Browns. They took care of me last week, and they're going to do it again this
Adam.
Week.
Adam.
Browns. Give me the Browns.
The Steelers have to come back and look somewhat good after that their last showing last week. I think they're going to come back and give the Browns the beatdown they so richly deserve. Give me the Steelers. And then finally, for the NFL at least, we have the Lions taking on the Seahawks. And we need scores on this one, so we'll start with Adam Harahawk.
Detroit 35, Seattle 27.
Drew.
Detroit's going to take it 21-14.
Lapeer Main Street manager, Jim Ault.
Detroit 27-17.
I, of course, am taking Detroit as well because there's no reason you shouldn't come out and beat Geno Smith and company. Absolutely no reason for it whatsoever. My score, I'm going to go ahead and say the Lions 27. Seahawks, 17.
Isn't that what I just said?
Is that what you just said? No, you said...
27-17.
Okay. Yeah. You did say 27-17. Well, all right, fine. 24-17. We'll give the Seahawks defense a little bit of credit here.
Uh-huh, sure. Just now go ahead and copy me.
Sure. So real quick, let's try and knock down some college football, shall we?
Yes.
We have basically one national game of any interest at this point. No, we have two. The first one being Tennessee and Florida, because Tennessee is only favored by 6. Do you know how hard it is to find games that are where the odds are less than a touchdown?
At this time of the year, it's terrible.
It is.
I'm learning about colleges I didn't even know existed.
Exactly. So Tennessee is favored by 6 against Florida. Adam on the pick.
The last word I heard was Florida, so I'm going with Florida.
Drew.
Tennessee.
Jimothy.
I will take Tennessee on this one as well.
We have, what is this next one? Oh, Colorado and Colorado State. The only reason we're doing this is because, like, anything that Coach Prime does now becomes a national event, and Colorado State's head coach went out talking all of the trash against Deion Sanders this week. Colorado, The Buffaloes are favored by 23, and I'm just kind of curious whether you guys think they're going to cover. Adam.
Colorado did well for me last time, so yes, Colorado, and yes, they will cover.
Drew.
I'm taking Colorado State. If you can talk trash, you better be able to back it.
Ooh.
Jim Alt.
Listen to you.
I'm taking Colorado.
That's right.
And they'll cover.
Colorado by 35. So we have three games involving local teams that we might as well talk about. Central's playing Notre Dame this week. And Notre Dame's favored by 34.5.
Oh, man. Sorry, Chips. Notre Dame.
Will they cover?
No. No cover.
Drew.
Who do you think? And you can always count on the Irish to cover.
Oh, the Fighting Irish. Yeah, there you go.
Jimothy.
According to ESPN, the Chips have a 1.4% chance of winning this game.
1.4%?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to take the Fighting Irish. But they will not cover.
Unfortunately, I hate to say it, the Irish are going to cover in this one. Michigan, they're playing Bowling Green as we finish off. I think we're finally finishing off the preseason for the Wolverines. Michigan's favored by 40.5.
Bowling Green, Kentucky, or Bowling Green, Ohio?
Ohio.
Okay.
Correct. So, Drew on the pick.
Bowling Green.
Wow. Outright.
Wow.
Yeah, because I don't like Michigan.
Jimothy.
Michigan.
Adam.
Michigan, and they will cover the 40.5 spread.
Michigan, but they will not cover. And then finally, oh God, Michigan State. They get to go play Washington at Spartan Stadium. This is going to be great. Washington's favored by 17.5. Or, sorry, favored by 17. Good thing it's on Peacock, so no one's going to actually see it.
I'm saying
thank you, Almighty, for that one. We start with Jim on the pick, since I started with the Sparty for the last one.
Washington, all the way. Michigan State at this point just needs to be embarrassed and go away.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they're plenty embarrassed at this point. Drew.
I'm saying they're a leaderless army, so it's going to be like a prison break, and I bet Michigan State's going to win.
Adam.
There's a lot of uprising in that locker room. I think they have a lot to prove, even though Tucker's no longer there. They're going to be fighting for him. Give me Sparty.
This might be a first. Like, you never pick State when it's actually like a tough matchup, man.
No.
But here he goes, and you know what? Here I go too. Give me State as Harler Barnett tries to prove that he should at least be considered at the end of this season as the next head coach, even though by all logical rights he shouldn't be. There's the picks. It's happy hour. Stick around. Happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Drew Duffy hanging out with us as we get set to close this thing out on a Friday afternoon.
What's going on, everybody?
So do we bring this up then?
I love this. We talked about it. I don't know if it was on air, off the air, but we had a ball with this. Mike Babcock, as you know, he was picked up as head coach for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, he has had some problems with treatment of players, benching players on special days, psychological BS on people.
He's a psych major, and that should explain a lot. Have you ever known a psych major that wasn't a little bit, a lot of bit manipulative? Well, I can't say I have.
Well, things have really come up where they haven't done anything for the Columbus Blue Jackets as far as training camp or anything else. He's not even really officially the head coach yet. He hasn't coached a game.
Yeah, he hasn't actually started there yet.
He is already in trouble because he's bringing in players and staff members saying, I want to see your phone. I want to go through the pictures. I want to see who you are as a person off the ice or out of the office.
And then putting them on the big screen or whatever.
That's the one thing. And it reminds me of that malarkey he pulled over in Toronto where he tells Mitch Marner, hey, I want you to rank all of the players on who works the hardest down to who works the least hardest. And then showed that list to the entire team.
I would so have a nudie picture of his wife on there.
And that would almost ensure that you get cut from the team immediately, but it would be so worth it.
And so I want to see your pictures on your phone, so they hand pictures. But that's not enough for Babcock. He puts it on the big screen so that who's ever all in the room can see what, you know, vacation photos, the hamburger you took a picture of, the memes, you know, or whatever.
Whoever you've been sexting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and he started off with Boone Jenner, the captain, and it's a lot of people are coming to his defense. Like Johnny Gaudreau came to his defense.
Jenner put out a statement in his defense, even.
Yeah,
which I'm kind of surprised by.
But now it's like the league union is stepping in. The Columbus Blue Jackets head office, there's grumblings that he might already be fired
before he ever coaches a game there. That would be hilarious, and that really would be just, you know, karma bringing itself around, wouldn't it?
Because
it's like you learn nothing. All this happen. You had everybody in the league come out against you, slamming you, everything else. For the shady things you pulled elsewhere, you'd think. I mean, he went on one of the hockey shows and like mumbled his way through an apology. You'd think he might have actually taken something, maybe grown as a human. And apparently, no, he decided to just double down on being, well, Babcock.
Who cares what's on their phone? How does that affect how they play the game of hockey?
It doesn't. It's a head game. It always is with him. It always has been that way with him.
And how does he have rights to see what's on their personal property? I mean, that's kind of like going through their underwear drawer.
Yeah.
Why don't you come to my house?
No, exactly.
I mean, he doesn't have rights to it per se, but guys probably go on the circumstances of like, well, he's going to bench us.
They want ice time. They don't want to get benched. They want to stick. And the guy does have a couple gold medals and a Stanley Cup to his name. So they're like, some of these very young players are like, maybe this is just the way it's supposed to go. And so a lot of them are complying. And it's so stupid. I mean, it's such an invasion of privacy. And it's a head game. That's all it is. The guy's trash. He needs to stay away from the game. And I feel bad for his kids, quite frankly.
Oh, wow.
Could you imagine being the son of Mike Babcock?
Right, yeah. You know you're just, everything you do is being, like, you're getting just mentally played every time you walk into, sit down in a room with the man.
Every single time, yeah.
Oh, I see. Thanks for coming late to dinner, son. 180,000 sperm and I got you.
180,000, that's a small count.
Hey. Well, I'm around a lot of ice a lot of times. I froze the boys, but
I've taken a couple pucks in there. like his Christmas card is a Rorschach test. What do you see?
Yeah, what do you think it is? Like, you didn't guess father's disappointment? Well, you guessed wrong, man.
I'm telling you what. You think that's how you're supposed to mow the lawn, huh? All right, well, hang on a second.
Here, let me go out here and show you how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. the guy...
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
The guy is garbage. The fact he's... If he gets fired before game one with the Columbus Blue Jackets, I think that's going to be funny as hell.
I think it's entirely fitting if it happens that way.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it does go down like that. Like, the point where you've been talked to, it's been explained to you, you can't do this sort of stuff, and then you go and double down on it. Yeah, you're asking, like, you're begging at this point to get out of this deal before it ever even starts.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. And I don't imagine if he gets booted from here, I don't think he's going to have another gig exactly waiting for him elsewhere.
I mean, this is the start of a Batman villain, is it not?
No, it absolutely is. We got some business to take care of because we're kind of running out of time here this afternoon.
Oh, is it time to go already?
In our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Patrick Kane, Chanel West Coast, Chantel Salt Lake, Crystal San Francisco, Swifties, Deadheads, Pitbulls, Pitbull, Hubba Bubba, Bubba Yubba, Atlanta, Quebec City, Cubert City, and Utah. We're sorry!
JC and the Disciples on Sessions tonight. Make sure you tune in.
6 o'clock at Solid State Radio and 8 o'clock on the Thumbs Greatest Hits, 97.7 WTGV.
Right. I screwed up my Facebook post. I'm going to have to amend that.
And all next week, if you're listening for Sessions on TGV, it'll be on at 8 o'clock because the Tigers are on a West Coast swing for the next week and a half. So you're getting Sessions 3 hours earlier. Aren't you just so lucky for that?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You'll actually get to hear Sessions before you go out and start partying it up for the night.
Or take me partying with you. That's fine.
Absolutely.
And then Saturday, 3 hours of nothing but Michigan-made music. Come on and join me exclusively on Solid State Radio.
See, there you go. On that note, we got to get out of here. Stick around. Jesse Kelly's up next after ABC News covers the world at 7 o'clock on WMIC AM and W237EQ FM Sandusky. All being well, talk to you next week. See ya.